from Wentworth Institute of Technology in Boston. Welcome to Inside Wentworth.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Inside Wentworth podcast. I'm Greg Abazorius. We have a special treat for you today as we are coming to you from the Timberland headquarters in Stratham, New Hampshire. I sit down with Nick Dunleavy, a 2012 graduate of Wentworth's Industrial Design program. He is currently working as a designer for Timberland. Nick will get into what brought him into the world of footwear design and will take us through a couple of his favorite projects. I also want to note that the sound quality is a bit different for this one. We shot on location in Nick's office building, so you'll hear some background chatter from time to time, but I think you'll really enjoy what Nick has to say. Without further ado, Nick Dunleavy. So I guess, you know, to start with, walk me through a little bit of your Wentworth experience. What initially attracted you to going there?
I actually decided to go to Wentworth because I was going to school up here in New Hampshire at a little, like, two-year tech school for graphic design and computer programming.
Okay.
But I wasn't really enjoying it that much. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to find some way I could transfer some of those, like, skills, mm-hmm. And credits to try and get into another school.
Sure.
And my dad at the time worked for, like, a laser skincare hair removal company, and one of the guys that worked for him was a man named Tony Wong, who was an alumni of Wentworth. He was an industrial designer, and that's how I first even heard about, like, the major, and started looking into schools that could do that.
Industrial design you're talking about.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And so that's really ultimately what got me to go to Wentworth, because I had such a good experience with Tony. Mm-hmm. You know, and kind of figuring out what industrial design was, that, I mean, as soon as it was like a short 3 month internship, as soon as I finished that, it was just like,
yeah,
Wentworth and maybe like a couple others that I applied to.
But that was right at the top of the list.
Yeah, that was kind of where I wanted to go.
It's such a layered major too, I feel like, industrial design, where you can, I mean, you're pretty focused on a certain discipline, but you can take that and run in a lot of directions after graduation. Mm-hmm. So was that appealing too, this idea that you can do a lot of different things with this major?
I went into it, honestly, with my heart set on, like, going into the medical design field.
Interesting.
So
okay.
I was pretty targeted when I went into it. But I didn't really know until maybe junior year, really, what, you know, you could do with an industrial design degree.
Yeah.
You know, the first year when I went was a lot of intro, like, drawing 101 and just kind of like a fine arts major. And then, you know, we had the sophomore review, and then everything kind of kicks into more of, like, what the career is like, mm-hmm. instead of building the initial skill sets.
Sure.
And that was when it really kind of opened my eyes, and I realized that, you know, industrial design is really just, you're trying to do products that are, like, mass-produced, typically. But I have friends who graduated and are in user interface design. I have a friend who's, you know, trying to open up his own gym, but they all still use the same problem solving that you learn in the industrial design career.
Right.
So you can really do a lot with it once you get out.
You mentioned fine arts and drawing and some of those programs, and it got me thinking about the area that Wentworth is in. So yeah, I think you mentioned having grown up here in New Hampshire. What was it like being in the city for school? I mean, were you able to take advantage of the museum across the street or other resources?
Yeah. We went to the museum a lot, and that's a huge benefit. And I think, you know, once I moved down to Boston, I kind of fell in love with the city. Mm-hmm. I found that I felt more like a city guy at heart,
right.
because there's just so many different things to see all the time, you know. And so you get exposed to so many different things that I think, especially as a designer, you just can't help but, like, notice all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it gives you just a bigger perspective on people.
And I feel like, too, it's probably easier to make some connections, maybe network with people, because everybody's right in the same place.
Yeah, I mean, Boston's a great design hub. You know, there's so many, it's a small industry, it's rare that you can go from, like, one company to another company and not know a ton of people, like, that you've worked with on different projects in the past.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's huge. It's huge to be in Boston right now.
You kind of touched on it, but take me through some of your favorite projects or other work that you did at Wentworth as a student. Anything that stands out?
Yeah, I think my favorite project I had at Wentworth was when one of our studios we worked with, the nonprofit Design Museum Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked with Sam Aquilano and Derek Cassio that were, I think, maybe adjuncts at the time, but they definitely taught full-time courses. Just phenomenal teachers.
Yeah, yeah. Derek in particular I've worked a lot with.
Yeah, he's
really
awesome.
Interesting guy.
So high energy. So the project was to, you know, design their next installation. So we had to... The whole class worked together on the project, which was the biggest group project I'd worked on.
Mm. Was that different disciplines or just industrial?
No, it was all industrial.
All industrial.
Designers.
Okay.
And so we had to do things that were outside of what we normally do, like site scouting and, you know, cold calls and trying to get fundraising and stuff like that.
Wow.
But then we were also still able to use a lot of the skills that we learned with, you know, designing the floor plans of, you know, once we picked our location, graphic design work, even just some of, like, early logo work and working on, like, what the overall, it was almost like a brand guideline, what the overall theme, like, color schemes would be.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, it took the whole semester to do it, but we ended up landing on, like, recycle products and stuff like that. And I was able to actually leverage my previous internship at New Balance to get, like, them in to show some of the recycled content and how shoes are made. We had a lot of, we had some cleaning products. We had a big installation on cell phones and how many cell phones have been tossed away and stuff like that.
Wow.
So working with Design Museum Boston was a really fun experience. You know, you kind of got the sense of what more professional working environment would be, mm-hmm. working with them. And then I also think that was the time that I started to become really close with the rest of my classmates. I think our graduating year was a really close-knit group.
So it's kind of those hands-on projects that really brought you guys together.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge... huge group project, and, you know, it lasted the whole semester.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just kind of always working with the same people, and when you're trying to work towards one goal, you know, it just creates a bond.
Sure, yeah.
They're late hours in studio drawing, trying to be creative, trying to come up with ideas. So everybody becomes like a sounding board.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had a pretty small graduating class in total, so that definitely stands out as, I think, my favorite project at Wentworth for so many reasons.
Yeah. Was there ever a point during that particular project where you're asked to do the cold calling or the fundraising, things that are kind of out of your comfort zone, were you ever thinking, like, what did I get into? Or was it always just this understanding of, nope, this is how the real world works, this is a good taste of it?
Yeah, I think what was really good about the ID program at Wentworth was you don't really have that much time to sit and be concerned with, like, what you got into. It's just kind of, it's very, very fast moving. So in that project, I did a few things that I hadn't done before. I started doing some, like, video work to do, like, to post on Kickstarter to show progress and to, you know, try and raise money and things like that. And so
it's a good experience.
It was
doing different things.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. It was I really don't know if I would have been in the same direction as I am now if it wasn't for that project. You just get exposed. You got exposed to essentially what it would be like to work for a nonprofit, mm-hmm. which is, you know, completely different than someplace that's already established.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So if felt like purposeful, honestly.
That's great. Now, how about co-ops? Was New Balance a co-op, or was that a previous internship?
New Balance was a co-op.
That was co-op. Okay.
That was my first co-op, and then my second one was with Puma.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, I guess I kind of asked this before, but was that a conscious decision to go after shoe companies, or did it just sort of happen that way?
Yeah. No. I was really still trying to get into the medical field, and I started running into a little bit of difficulty because my portfolio wasn't really tailored towards medical design. And so just my own personal style, it ended up having more colorful, cartoony things in there. And I just remember one night I was sitting in my room. I just uploaded a sample portfolio to an online website, and I got an email sent to my phone from a woman named Jody Klan at New Balance, and she said that she liked my portfolio. She thought it was a lot of fun. I didn't have any footwear in it, but she was wondering if I'd be interested in a footwear internship. It's paid. That's like a short, like, little email. And at first, I didn't think it was real because I didn't know how a company like New Balance would have found me, especially without any footwear in it.
Sure.
Footwear is a really pretty competitive industry. So for like a minute, I thought it might have been a friend pulling my leg or something.
Right. Why are they looking at medical people?
Right. Like, I had like a toaster or something in there. but then I found her on LinkedIn and responded really quickly. And so she used to joke about that later, that she had never gotten an email response as quick as the one she got from me. But my first internship, I took a change because I wasn't really finding the opportunity that I was looking for.
And that's kind of what they're meant for, right? It's a good way to get your feet wet, realize whether or not you actually like this industry.
Absolutely. I kind of just lucked into it, really. But then after my New Balance internship, that was when I kind of was like, yep, that's what I want to do. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. And so then you went from there to Puma, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first round of internships, I applied at a lot of places. And then the second round of internships, what was really helpful was, like companies like Hasbro and Puma sometimes come on campus to interview people.
That's right, yeah.
And so I signed up for the Puma internship and maybe like two others, but I was like, yeah, I really want it. I just want footwear now. I was much more targeted during it.
Were you doing the career office stuff too, like the career fair or mock interview day?
I did mock interview day, and that was pretty helpful. And then I had a friend in a different major who worked in the office that helped me with a lot of the peer-to-peer reviews, getting my resume and cover letter and stuff like that worked out. But I didn't really go to the fairs too much because at that point I had decided on footwear, and there's not many around here, so I didn't have too many options.
Right. And so is that what kind of led you here ultimately, that you graduated and you applied directly here?
Yeah. I actually applied here before I graduated. I wanted to really line something up before I got out of school. And I've always liked the company. I've always, liked the style of the footwear. But Timberland requires a 6-month internship.
Okay.
And so it was too long for me to do between semesters. So my senior footwear studio professor was a guy named Joe Naprano, and he was friends with a designer here.
Okay.
And so he was the one who suggested, he was like, have you considered Timberland? I was like, yeah, I've always liked that. I could never really get in because of just time. And so he connected me with the designer here, and that's when I got my internship.
Okay.
Which started like the day after commencement.
How funny.
my internship here. It lasted 6 months, then they extended me 6. And then at the end of that was when they became a full-time offer.
Yeah, that's great. And were you commuting from Boston, or had you moved up here?
No, yeah, I moved back home with my parents. Because it was, you know, it was 10 minutes away.
Nothing wrong with that, yeah.
Yep, I could save money on rent. I was really close to work. And since, you know, it was still an internship, mm-hmm. it really helped me get on my feet.
Sure. Before. No, that's fantastic. So tell our readers a little bit about what you do specifically in your role here.
I work on the men's and kids casual line of Timberland, so that is, it's kind of a broad category right now. It has the classic six-inch boot in it.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of our dress casual stuff, like the dress shoes, a lot of stuff that we sell in like Nordstrom's. But then
some of the higher end products.
Yeah, we have like the Bootco line as mm-hmm. part of our team. And then it's also the kids side of that business as well. So I started working on the 6-inch boot and then moved to the kids team for a while. And right now I'm kind of transitioning back to both the kids and the dress casual mm-hmm. side of it.
Is it hard to bounce between both worlds?
No, it's a lot of fun, yeah. Actually. I never really at all pictured myself drawing kids' shoes. You know, looking at kid trends and
right.
trying to like pick out kid outfits and stuff like that. But as a designer, the change is a welcome challenge most of the time.
Mm.
You know, it can be a challenge to continually find inspiration when you're just working on the same type of thing. And so one of the things that drew me to footwear was that it's so fast paced, it's mm-hmm. so quickly moving.
Because fashion's always changing.
Exactly, mm-hmm. right? And so by the time I get like bored of a color or something, I'm already on to the next thing. And so the working on being able to do the amount of different product that I can work on here mm-hmm. is one of the things that I think keeps me fresh and like engaged. So yeah, I love it.
Is designing for kids' shoes in particular even more exciting, because I imagine that there's a little more freedom there in terms of not out there styles, but just things that are a yeah. little different, a little more colorful, flashier.
Yeah, you can definitely be a lot more whimsical.
Yeah,
with it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a better word.
it is a lot of fun. You get to be bolder with color, and you know, you get to do both like the boys and girls stuff at the same time mm-hmm. too. So it definitely is in terms of you know, the fun, like the poppiness of
yeah.
creativity. It is really fun, but then it comes with its other challenges where you know, it's so much more price sensitive mm-hmm. as well.
Sure.
And then you have, unlike adult product, which, you know, comes in like half sizes and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
the scale, the kid's scale, goes from, you know, toddler all the way up to junior, so it's almost like you're doing three different size runs.
Okay, yeah, that makes
then,
sense.
And then you have to throw in the safety stuff, so, you know, tripping hazards and everything like that. So I actually think it's a really great balance of what's always drawn me to industrial design, whereas you speak to engineers, you know, you want to know the language and, you know, be educated enough
mm-hmm.
to be able to work with them.
Sure.
You know, and but then you also get to have the fun, artistic, creative side of it as well. And so,
is it hard to strike a balance sometimes between, you know, looking at what's hot in fashion and wanting to go in that direction versus functionality and having tried and true product? I mean, Timberland's obviously a brand that everybody knows, people have worn it for years and stand by it because it holds up.
Mm.
But at the same time, you want to design something maybe that looks flashy or is going to bring new customers in. So is that kind of a tightrope that you have to walk?
I think, yeah, I mean, it's, I think it's one of the things we actually try and strive to try and do here is, we have different metrics that we hold things against, but we talk about style and then we also consider performance and the end use.
Mm-hmm.
And then we always try and work in the green element of the product,
sure,
too. And so I think one of the trends that we've noticed here for the last few years is that people don't want to sacrifice performance for style. They also don't want to sacrifice style for performance.
Right.
And so, you know, it's the goal is to always try and design fashionable product that works well for what, you know, we expect the user to use,
sure,
the product for. So I think there's different standards to the product, you know, whether or not it passes our waterproof guidelines or our flex tests or our abrasion tests. But I think as a designer, you always try and think about the end use, and you always try and be honest towards that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whether it's a hiking shoe or, you know, a boot that you're going to be walking, you know, miles in the rain in, or it's a work casual shoe that you're just kind of going out to the bar afterwards, there's still performance elements,
sure,
of,
yeah,
that. And I don't think there's anybody really out there that's like, yeah, I want to wear a goofy looking shoe. So, you know, everybody has their own style, and we try and cater to all the different styles of the world.
I imagine too, maybe this is a bad comparison, but I think about cell phones and smartphones and how there's constantly this push to make them lighter, more waterproof, but also look good. And I imagine it's probably a similar challenge for you guys, just having something that maintains that look that people want, but as you're saying, if it's got to pass the green test and it has to hold up in certain conditions, is that a challenge too? Just constantly looking for new types of material to build with, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's been a huge amount of progress in textile and fabric fields, and, you know, synthetics are getting better and better all the time as well, and then leather itself just has so many good qualities to it,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, I think that it's probably a hard thing to constantly find those new innovative products, but we have a really great team over in Dover that focuses on all of our
Dover, New Hampshire.
Yeah,
yep.
All of our advanced concepts type materials and stuff, and then we also have a really great in-house material team. And footwear is a really for design, it's small, but footwear itself in general is really a big industry. So
sure,
there's a lot of vendors and different companies around the world that we partner with that do a really great job of coming up with that stuff too. So
yeah, and it kind of sounds like the group work you were doing at Wentworth, just having to work together and talk to different people and doing different things, has really come in handy now, because it sounds like you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Just constantly having to work with different people, different backgrounds.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, just being part of Wentworth, and I do think the location of Wentworth helps a lot. It's just, you are exposed to a bunch of different types of people, and it might be biased for me to say it, but there's a lot of people who are in design that they have a little quirk to them, and I think that's what most really good designers always have, some type of a little bit of quirk to them.
Right.
So there's a lot of creativity and uniqueness shoved into, you know, one room. So yeah, it definitely prepares you to work with a huge range of different personalities, and because Timberland's global, different cultures and stuff too. So
that's great. What is it about the brand you think is so timeless? Because it's about as popular now as it was even 20 years ago.
I mean,
it's never really wavered.
We are a really recognized brand. And I think what really plays into that is the fact that we just try and stay honest to, like, our product. You know, we have a very high standard for the performance that we were known for. And you never want to lose that. You never want to give that away. And now we're trying to still use that same type of approach to, you know, design in general, but just kind of give things like a modern spin. Sure. So I think that you know what resonates with the brand is that when people think of the name, there's certain things that come to mind for mm-hmm. just about everybody. So I think the fact that we've kind of had the same character for so long, I think makes it seem authentic.
Yeah. Just one final question I have, and you can take a second to think about it, but what advice would you give to other industrial design students right now? You know, maybe ones that kind of found it in the way that you did, that don't exactly know what it entails yet, maybe they're just getting into it. What should they look for in terms of thinking ahead?
I think the best advice I could give, you know, a young designer still kind of exploring the field and finding out what they can do with it is just the fact that, you know, you might have a target, you might have point A that you're trying to get to from point B. You might not know point A yet, but it's never going to be a straight line to get there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my experience, be open to the opportunities that come your way, because you might find a different path that just, you know, really fits you. So just be, I think that's probably it, be ready and open to the different opportunities and really kind of explore what you can do mm-hmm. with the field.
I always talk to people, ask for advice, that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's
design. Especially other professors, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Professors and just people in the field. It's such a small community that, you know, there's like a sense of paying it forward, almost. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of my goals was always to try and get enough experience in the industry and then eventually, you know, try and go back and like adjunct teach or something, or guest critique or something, you know, because that's how I found my way into the industry, by WIT alumni kind of, you know, exposing me to it. So I know a lot of friends who got into Wentworth in a similar way. I think that's what I really like most about the field, is that you get a sense of community almost in mm-hmm. it. And so, yeah, absolutely leverage everything you can at Wentworth and network as much as possible, because it's mostly about who you know, and yeah. that's what opens those doors.
That's true.
But yeah, when those doors open, it might not be what you thought you wanted to do, but that's why the internship programs are so great, right? Try it and you never know.